News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Tomorrow, of course, you may have noticed it is St. Patrick's Day. And with us is Patrick Gagan, who's presenter of Talking History and the director of the Trinity Longroom Hub in Trinity College Dublin, to look at how the St. Patrick's Day Festival became what it is today. Now, as I understand this, Patrick, and I probably have got it wrong, this is a bit like the way we handle doctors. We sort of exported it, got it all established, and then brought it back. Is that right?
That is absolutely right, Anton. And it goes much further back than even I thought. I knew that it was big in America before it became the United States, and it was big in Britain. But it actually goes back 400 years to Florida, to a colony in what's now South Florida. And records were only discovered a few years ago that a former soldier who became a priest, Father Richard Arthur, who became Padre Ricardo Arthur, he set up the first St. Patrick's Day parade in the St. Augustine colony in 1601 in honour of St. Patricio, and it went on for a few years until he left. And then you see it being taken up by different groups of Irish emigres in the American colonies. There's one in Boston in 1737, there's one in New York a few years later, and it's incredible the way we back home in Ireland then copied and imitated what was happening abroad.
Which was quite a cultural shift, because as I understand it, we had previously been very abstemious and conservative on Patrick's Day.
Oh, absolutely. Because you see, St. Patrick's Day, it was always 17th of March because that was the date associated with the death of St. Patrick. And because it almost always fell during Lent, you know, you weren't allowed to drink alcohol, you weren't allowed to eat meat. It was a very strict fasting day, except then sometimes there were you were given some leniency. But when the Irish official state-sponsored parade began in Dublin in 1931, there was still a ban in place under the Intoxicating Alcohol Act, which meant that you could not buy alcohol in Ireland between 1927 and 1961 on the 17th of March. So for many, many decades, it was quite a sober day in Ireland.
Do I, and maybe I have this wrong, wasn't there some little lacuna in the law that you could buy alcohol if you had a train ticket? Or am I making that up?
Absolutely. And that was a big one for Good Friday as well. So you sometimes found people buy a ticket just so they could get a drink, or perhaps have a drink in the train station while they're waiting for a journey that they weren't going to make. But it is incredible. It was big in Britain before it was bigger in Ireland. Jonathan Swift was at a parade in London in 1713, and he wrote back to Ireland saying that the mall in London was so full of crosses, he thought all the world in Irish. You see parades in Liverpool being cancelled because of the famine. But really, the first parades in this country begin in 1903, organised by Cunran na Gaeilge, and the first one was in Waterford, and in that year it became a public holiday, a bank holiday in Ireland. And you see the Irish Volunteers in the lead up to the 1916 Rising having parades all around Ireland, and there's a big military presence as well. But it really takes a while for it to develop here, and it takes a while for people in Ireland to realise the potential of these parades. But of course, they're huge in Britain, they're huge in the United States, and in a way, we take a lot of what we have from the United States.
Patrick, thank you very much. That's Patrick Gagan, who is presenter of Talking History and the director of the Trinity Longroom Hub in Trinity College Dublin, on the subject of people remaining teetotal and fasting on St. Patrick's Day.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.